For over a decade, Radio Sai has had the privilege of spreading the message of universal love of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today, as we celebrate the 12th anniversary, let's listen to what the listeners have to say.
Sai Ram, I am Sai Kaustubh Dasgupta from Puttaparthi. If you ask me what Radio Sai means to me, I should say Radio Sai is my life. Radio Sai is not a simple radio station, it's God's own radio station. It airs Swami's universal message of selfless love throughout the world, 24 hours a day, throughout the year. Radio Sai has not only transformed my life, but also it has given me a new life. It's a wonderful platform through which I have rediscovered my life and explored the inner qualities of mine. After joining Radio Sai as a graphic designer, I learned the art of my life, which was the most turning point. Being in this physical condition where I can't move an inch on my own, I have found a new world full of joy and happiness through Radio Sai. Swami taught me the new innings of my life. My team members, who are more than my own brothers, guided me in every step and helped me to recreate the sketch of my life. I have experienced thousand mothers' love in Swami. While working here, I experienced each graphic carries wonderful memories as they are the reflection of His pure love. He is the main doer and He does all these wallpapers, banners. I am only the brush of His divine hand, helping Him to complete His divine painting. I think Radio Sai plays a role of most important vehicle to connect Swami. Like others, I too have found Him much closer while working here. Working for Him gives me such joy that you will never find anywhere else. Through His work, we could dive deep into our lives and can realize our actual purpose. I have learned a lot from my team members who are not only practicing Swami's words, but also helps me to increase my potentials. They always encourage me to do the best work for Swami. I am always grateful to Swami as He made me His chosen instrument to complete some of His tasks, and I always pray to Him to guide me towards my goal, which is to spread happiness and joy all over the world through my work. I will try my best, and I am sure Swami will do the rest. After all, His work, He only does the best. And one more point I like to add is while working these graphics during festival or special occasions, I am getting His divine music. When I get lost in myself while creating those graphics, Swami gave me some compositions which are not only blissful, but also you could find some uniqueness in them. Being a musician, it's an amazing experience for me. He has drenched me with His utmost compassion by giving this opportunity to work for His vast mission, and I am indeed grateful to all my team members for making a very simple costume to Sai's costume. Before closing, let me offer a small composition of Him, which was given by Swami during Ramanavami festival this year. And all the Radio Sai listeners, I would like to convey that beside your worldly routine, spend some time with our beloved Sai Ma through Radio Sai, and you will find world's happiness into her lap. Jayato jayato jagadesha manohara jaya parameshwara sri rama jayato jayato jagadesha manohara jaya parameshwara sri rama 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 Jaya Raja Ram Rama Rama Jaya Sai Ram Ahalya Dharaka Sri Rama Ayodhya Shiromani Sri Rama Vaidehe Priya Sri Rama Vaikunthapate Sri Rama He Dina Jana Sraya Sri Rama Dino Ke Prabhu Sai Rama He Dina Jana Sraya Sri Rama Dino Ke Prabhu Sai Rama Jayatu Jayatu Jagadesh Manohara Jaya Parameshwara Sri Rama.
Sri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Jaya. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sai Ram and greetings from Prashant Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. Good morning to all of you and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live, the live hosting and broadcasting coming to you straight from Prashant Nilayam. Well, I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai and this is a segment, Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to society. At the very outset, dear listeners, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the voice and listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Today is 28th of August and the time right now in our studio is 11:35 a.m. It's a beautiful and pleasant day here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram. In fact, from last couple of days, we are having slight drizzles here at the ashram. But the weather is going on changing. Sometimes it will be fully sunshine, sometimes it will be cloudy, sometimes it will be slight drizzle. So it's a mixture of all the climates. But it's always pleasant here. Tomorrow is 29th of August and it's doubly special for us at Radio Sai. Well, firstly, it's the festival of Ganesh Chaturthi, the birthday of Lord Ganesha. And secondly, tomorrow, 29th of August, 12 years back, that is in the year 2002, on 29th of August, Bhagavan visited this Radio Sai studio and inaugurated it. So tomorrow is the 12th anniversary of Radio Sai Global Harmony, and on that occasion, we are celebrating it today, and today, throughout the day, as it is Thursday Life, we are bringing special programs. Well, on the occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi festival, right now I would like to read out few excerpts from Bhagwan's Divine Discourse which he gave in the year 1997 on the occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi. So I quote, "If you want to lead a life of happiness, free from troubles and difficulties, you have to pray to Ganapati, the remover of all obstacles. There is no need to go to any temple. Vigneshwara dwells in each one of you as your buddhi, intelligence, and vijnana, wisdom. When you make proper use of your inherent intelligence and wisdom, you will be successful in life. Students, realize that you have a conscience which is your guide and that it represents your divinity. Ganapati, who presides over the senses, should be your guide in acquiring mastery over the senses. There is an inner meaning in worshipping Ganapati for 10 days. The idea is, each day should be dedicated to acquiring control over one of your indriya, sense organs. Students and devotees should realize that control of the sense is quite simple. What is necessary is to not encourage negative feelings when they arise and to adopt a positive attitude. For instance, Buddha confronted the anger of a demon with his love and transformed him. Realize and act on the basis that living divinity is within you. Ganapati represents the ideal person who is guided by intelligence and wisdom. Engage yourself in acts which will please the divine, such as moderation in speech, giving up ill will and hatred, and eschewing all bad thoughts and restraint of desire. Combining spiritual practices with academic studies will make your life fruitful." Unquote. So, dear listeners, that was in what I read was a few lines from the Divine Discourse delivered by Bhagavan in the year 1997 on the occasion of Ganesh Chaturthi. So, what is clear from Baba's message is that Lord Ganesha truly is the voice of conscience within us. He is the intellect and the power of discrimination that has been gifted to each one of us so that we may use them to sanctify our lives, so that we may learn that God Almighty is that infinitely powerful principle who can assume any fascinating form to bestow on us happiness and bliss. And also so that we finally realize that the only way to find fulfillment in our lives is to see the divine in every being and do only that which will please the Ganesha within us and within every being. Let us always ruminate on this principle of Sai Ganesha that resides and reverberates in us and become a source and a channel of joy for others, just like the beautiful Lord Ganesha is. Well, dear listeners, as I said, tomorrow, 29th of August, is again very special for us because it's the 12th anniversary of Radio Sai Global Harmony. So today in this segment, Service Love in Action, I've got a special guest with us, Dr. Deepak Anand, who is faculty member in the Department of Management Studies in Prashanthaland campus of Bhagwan's University here at Puttaparthi. So, Sairam and greetings and a warm welcome to Radio Sai Studios, sir.
Thank you very much, Raghu. I'm very pleased to be here.
So, as I said, tomorrow is the 12th anniversary and today we are going to celebrate it at Radio Sai.
True.
So, today's segment, we have named it as His Message is... His life is his message.
Beautiful.
So today we will be discussing on service and seeing how Swami's life is his message and how Swami always used to think about others and he always used to give and nothing but give.
That is true.
Well, starting from Swami's life in his early childhood, It is recorded in Swami's biography, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, written by Professor Kasturi, that when he was just of the age of 3 or 4, that time Swami was called Satyam, right?
Hmm.
So his heart was like butter. It used to melt like butter.
Hmm.
Just to give an instance, if some beggar comes to Swami's house, to his doorsteps, Swami never let the beggar go empty-handed. He always used to go inside to kitchen, pester his sisters and mother to give some food grains or food and give it to beggar. In fact, it used to happen that his sisters used to get frustrated and annoyed sometimes that always some beggar is coming and food is... actually, physically if you see, Swami's family was not financially so well off. Yeah. So, sometimes what his sisters, it seems, used to do was send off the beggar just like without giving any food. Mm-hmm. But whenever it used to happen, it seems Swami used to cry uncontrollably and he never used to stop crying. And what the sisters had to do means they had to get the beggar again to their house and feed him, and only then Swami stops crying. So if you see Swami's life, even later when Swami's father, Pedavenkappa Raju, that you can say, used to get clothes during festivals, right?
That is true. And no, as you correctly said, this is a beautiful biography of Bhagwan, the part one of Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And whenever Pedavenkappa Raju, as I remember, he would get the clothes for everybody to take and choose from, Swami would never choose anything. He will just, be as a witness in the background and let everybody else take. If anything is remaining, then probably Swami will say, okay, I'll accept what is remaining. Otherwise, he'll be happy with what he has.
Yes, so right from his childhood, even in the later stages of Swami's life, when in the year 2003-2004, actually I remember one episode, when Swami had that fall, and Swami was in stretcher, he was operated also for hip. So it seems once Swami was coming out of the operation theater after the surgery, and physically if you see, Swami would be having pain, right?
Mm.
But when Swami came out, he saw a few doctors sitting outside whom Swami knew. They were long-standing devotees of Bhagwan. And so Swami called Satyajit, brother, who was with Swami. And even when Swami was on stretcher with so much pain physically, but still it seems Swami asked Satyajit, brother, are the doctors being fed properly? Are they being taken care? So even at later stages also, full-time Swami used to only think about others.
Exactly. I think Swami's whole life has been a saga of selfless love and service.
Mm.
Talking about the childhood time, in fact, you know, it is given the biography that when Swami for the first time, he wore the ochre robes, Mother Ishwarama was very unhappy and she was a little disappointed because she always had the great desire that Satya will one day grow up, become, you know, an officer, get married, you know, and beget children and have, you know, big family. This is probably, you know, her, you know, desire, not knowing what Swami came for and what his real mission was.
Mm.
So she was very upset and she asked, Swami, did I really have to live to see this day that you are wearing the ochre robes like a sannyasi? And Satya, at that time what he was called, he said, Amma, I have come to establish the real meaning of ochre. Mm. And the real meaning of ochre is lifelong of service and sacrifice, suffering and sacrifice for others. This is the real meaning of ochre. I have come to establish. Until the very end, as you say, Brother Raghu, Swami established that, pounded that message in our hearts, that yes, our life is meant for others. Life is meant to serve.
Yes. So now you joined Swami's University in the year 1997, right?
Yes.
So now it has been 15, 16 years.
True.
So in this long association with Bhagwan, can you share some instances where you have seen personally where Swami always used to think of others and always used to give whatever he had to others?
Absolutely, Raghu. I think every day of my life with Swami, I have only witnessed Swami giving, giving, giving. He has never, you know, received. But what he has always asked us for all that he has done for us, known or unknown, there are many, many things that Bhagwan has done for us of which we are not aware at all. I know many such instances. Say, for example, once you were sitting in the darshan line, and I was happened to be the first that day as an MBA student in 1998. And Bhagwan came, and here the results were about to be declared. So you were all very anticipating, you know, what are the results? Will I get an O grade? If I don't get an O grade, maybe Swami will be upset with me. So we were all a little tensed up because he saw the registrar going in with the results, you know, that file.
Okay.
So he came out after some time. And then that time there were no railings, and Swami just walked down those three steps on the marble flooring, and he came towards us and stopped there and called me with his action of his finger. It looked like, you know, Swami had a little serious face, so I was wondering if I'm going to get scolded for not getting an O grade. So, you know, I rushed towards Bhagwan and folded my hands on my knees, and Swami suddenly he burst into a beautiful smile and said, "Ha, neeku O grade vachindi. You got an O grade." And, you know, Swami just was, you know, posing as if he's a little upset or angry. But in fact, even he was just acting, and Swami blessed me. But when I touched Swami's lotus feet, I saw that they were burning as if Swami had fever.
Uh-huh.
I looked up to Swami's eyes, and I saw that his eyes also were red, and Swami's voice was little hoarse. So I got very alarmed. And I said, "Swami, you have got fever. Swami, you're suffering from fever. You've taken somebody's problem on yourself." And Swami said, no, naaku emi ledu, there's no problem with me. I said, "No, Swami, you are suffering because of, you've taken somebody's suffering upon yourself, because you have no karma. You are beyond everything, but still you take upon our suffering upon yourself." This was, Raghu, one of the very, very, very rare occasions that Swami, like a divine mother, revealed what the reason of her suffering that day was. And Swami, I don't know what was that occasion, but Swami said, "Today morning there was an operation performed on a small child having a hole in his heart, and the child is only 6 months, and he had been rejected by all other hospitals because they felt that the case was nearly impossible to be operated upon, and you know, the mother also was very poor. Then the doctors came to Bhagwan, and Bhagwan said, "Yes, please, we will operate in our hospital." And you really remembered, you know, that when Swami said, "Jiska koi nahi, uska ka khuda hai yaar," for whom there is no recourse, God is the only recourse. And the operation was performed that day morning. And Swami said, it was a 6-hour operation on a 6-month-old child. The child can never bear that operation. And Swami said, "I have taken upon myself the suffering of the child, but I am very happy." And he smiled. Now just imagine God suffering and smiling at you, yes, and telling, "I am so happy that the child is healthy and the mother is happy." So this is, you know, we have seen instances like this day in and day out. Yes, how many will I tell you in this short time? But this is the saga of his life. Constant suffering and sacrifice for the sake of others without any expectation.
Yes, in fact, Swami has always said that parapakarartham idam shariram. This very body is given for serving the society and for humanity, for others.
That is true. That is true, Raghu.
Please share some more instances, sir, which you have seen.
So many, Raghu. Let me now shift from Prashanthi Nilayam to Kodaikanal. The year 1998, I was in the Kodai trip. And we had normally the Ishwarama day celebrated. Now, I talked about Ishwarama in the earlier, and Ishwarama is getting connected here again.
Yes.
It was the Ishwarama day. And Swami had organized, you know, mass feeding for all the devotees who came there, all the local people who came there. And Swami had given thick quilts of very good quality, and dhotis and saris for all the people who assembled there, for gents dhotis and for ladies saris. And everybody got a quilt. The whole distribution was over. Everybody was satiated. Everybody was given food. And we all came back and sat. And we were looking, you know, very expectantly at Swami's, you know, maybe he will say a word of praise that, you know, "You boys have done a great job," kind of thing. He did not say anything at all. Suddenly he looked towards the state president who was sitting there and said, "Naako inka kuda daham ga undi." I am still very thirsty.
Thirsty, okay.
And suddenly, the water was taken by one boy and offered to Bhagwan. And Swami said, "Idaham karu, not this thirst."
Okay.
And then, you know, suddenly Swami got up and got into his car and gave instructions to the state president that let the security jeep and Swami's car be loaded with additional dhotis, saris and the quilts. And because I was going in the security van along with Bhagwan, so I also followed. And Swami would stop at various places in Kodaikanal. He went to the lanes and by lanes of Kodaikanal and told us where there were, you know, decrepit old people or, you know, poor people, disabled people, old people who could not have come to Sai Shruti on that day and partaken the quilts and the clothes from his own hands.
Mm.
And Swami said, see, you know, if you go in this particular lane, under a tree, you'll find an old woman. Give her a sari. Give her a quilt. You'll find an old man, a lame man there. Give him. So Swami went on the whole Kodaikanal, distributing to all those people who were deserving. Because when you need God, you deserve God.
Yes.
It was like that. And God gave to everybody. And when he came out, came back, you know, to Sai Shruti with all the distribution done, then Swami said, you know, na daham tirindi, no, I am satisfied.
Okay.
So that is the thirst that, you know, God has. That is the example of his life, that we also must have that thirst of serving somebody.
Mm.
Because life, as you said, parokartham idam shariram. We have to utilize this life given by God for the service unto God. In the spirit of Gram Seva is Ram Seva. Service to others is service to God.
Yes.
That is the message of his life, Raghu. Eternal and, you know, the fundamental message of his life, if I can say that.
Wonderful. In fact, when you are talking about Swami's giving,
right.
You told this instance. I am reminded of one instance. This happened in late 1970s. This Mallikeshwaran sir had narrated this. That time there was no Trai Vrindavan and there was one bungalow where Swami used to stay.
True.
And this happened there. So Swami was with his boys and Swami was, and there was the then state president of Karnataka, the Sathya Sai Seva organization, state president Mr. Sundar Rao.
Right.
So Swami asked him, in Telugu Swami asked him, Okkachotlo neelu unte em avutundi? That means if water is stagnant at one place, what happens? Then he told Swami, the water gets dirty, it won't be good. Then Swami asked, if the water is always flowing, what happens? Then he told Swami, the water will always be fresh clean, it'll be good. Then Swami asked, see like that, if money is there at one place, what happens? Then he didn't say anything and he just kept quiet. Because we always want Swami to say the significance.
Right.
Then Swami narrated what happened just 1 hour back. Swami had gone out for darshan. That was in late 1970s and that year there was a worst flood in Godavari district of Andhra Pradesh. And so many people were affected financially also. So Swami said he had gone for darshan and one old man had come for Swami's darshan from Godavari district. And that old man wanted to get his grandson Upanayanam ceremony. The Upanayanam ceremony is the third ceremony
which
performed by Brahmins. Indian custom. And he wanted money of 2,000 rupees and he couldn't afford it. So he had asked one of the staff there to tell Swami that he wanted money. But the staff said, no, I can't recommend Swami.
Right.
But I will always pray to Swami that this is the case. So Swami had come out for darshan with a packet. And Swami silently went to that old man and gave that packet. That packet had 2,000 rupees note. So it was what that person wanted,
exactly
money.
Exactly that amount.
So then Swami came inside and then Swami is narrating this to Sundar Rao now. And Swami had a bunch of letters and he was just opening letter one by one. And in one packet, when he opened, there were exact 2,000 rupees note.
Wow.
So Swami said, see, money also is like that. You should not always keep it with you. You should give it to others with love and without any attachment.
That is true.
If you give money to others with love and without any attachment, then money will automatically come back to you. And Swami showed that some devotees or somebody had given him 2,000 rupees note. And again, those 2,000 rupees note, just Swami distributed it to boys. Swami gave each 100 rupees note to each boy. So Swami always used to just give to others.
Absolutely. No, it is like, you know, saying, dharmo rakshiti rakshitaha, that kind of thing. You give in the right spirit and you get back in the right spirit also. In fact, I just remembered one instance what happened, Raghu, in Trai Vrindavan. And you know that, you know, beautiful sessions, Swami sitting on that jhula and all the boss surrounding him from all the sides.
Yes.
You know, slowly swaying the jhula for Bhagwan and Bhagwan, you know, lovingly smiling at all the boys. Some talks would always happen. Either some elders will speak or, you know, some of the students and staff would be asked to speak in these sessions. I am sure you would have
remember
some of those sessions.
Correct.
One day, Swami used to ask Mr. General Mahadevan, who was that time the state president of Tamil Nadu,
okay,
to sometimes to speak. And he gave a speech, and he was narrating one instance in Bhagwan's presence. And he said he was coming from Chennai to Bangalore through his personal car, when there was some problem with the car and it hit the divider and it overturned with great speed 3 or 4 times.
Mm.
And when this happened, he said, I did not even remember to chant Sai Ram.
Okay.
I was so much shocked with sudden accident, I did not even remember to call upon Swami in that difficult moment. So the car just overturned and it was upside down. So we came out of the car. And just imagine all the windows and all the glasses were shattered to pieces. But inside, all the 5 members were absolutely fine. They didn't even have a scratch on their body.
Mm.
So he came to Bhagwan and he said, Swami, you have protected me. You have saved me. And Bhagwan said, no, I didn't do it. And he again insisted, Swami, no, only who else? You are my God. You are my guru and guide. Who else can save me except you? You only have saved me. And Swami said, no, I have not. He said, then Swami, who else is there to save me? Then Swami said, see Mahadevan, when you are doing service in the Satya Sai Seva organization, you are doing it without any expectations. You are doing it with a selflessness in your heart. And even when somebody says thank you, you say, no, don't thank me. Thanks Swami for the opportunity. And your good balances in your account, in a spiritual account, even before I could go and save you, your good actions performed with this spirit of selflessness and service have come and saved you.
Wow.
So that is dharmo rakshiti rakshitaha.
Yes.
Swami says, your dharma, your good actions, the results of that are always with you.
Mm.
And they will always protect you in the time of your need. So when we say service to others, actually, is that service to others?
Yeah, it's for ourselves.
It's for ourselves first, Raghu.
Yes.
It is, yes, nobody can help anybody else without helping himself first, it is said. And that is so true, is it not?
Yes, when you said service to others, it's service to ourselves.
Ourselves first.
This is, even Swami has told it many times, and Swami has told to the beneficiaries also. You may be aware of that Anantapur water project where Swami had given pure drinking water to millions.
Absolutely.
In Anantapur. So it seems after the Anantapur water project, the beneficiaries, they came to Puttaparthi and they were in Sai Kulanth Hall. They wanted to thank Swami for the water.
Right.
And Swami came for darshan. And they all got up and they thanked Swami. They told Bhagwan, thank you for providing us water.
Beautiful, clean water.
Then Swami told, you don't thank me.
Mm.
Instead, I should thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve.
Oh God, just imagine that.
That is really wonderful.
Exactly.
Profound, so profound of Swami doing that act.
One day, Raghu, that instance that you told, beautiful instance, how Swami is telling that we should be grateful for the opportunity given to serve.
Mm.
This is what, Vivekananda always used to say, all his fellow disciples of Ramakrishna order. He says, don't go to that poor person, but he's Daridra Narayana. Thank God and thank that person, that through his medium of serving him, you are going to get salvation.
Mm.
That person, today you go and give him food and clothes and all that, may not make a big difference in his life, but it's going to make a big difference in your life.
Yes.
Your attitude will change.
Mm.
That is the difference between, as Swami says, between coal and diamond.
Okay.
Swami says, both the coal and diamond are made of carbon atoms, exactly the same. But what is the difference? The difference is that coal absorbs all the light that is given to it.
Okay.
And that is why it is coal. It needs to be burnt.
It's black.
It's black. It needs to be burnt to have that glow.
Yes.
Because it only deserves that because it is selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But the diamond?
Yeah.
Same carbon atoms. But whatever light it receives, it reflects back.
Reflects.
In larger quantum. And that is why it deserves to be in the diadem of the king itself.
Yes, yes.
That is the difference between the two.
Very nice. And before this, when you told that whatever service we do to others, it's like a balance, spiritual balance,
right,
in our account.
Hmm.
Just many years back, it seems once Swami himself had told in Trai Brindavan, Swami asked the boys, You know, this prasadam distribution, after every festival, Swami insists that boys do the prasadam distribution for all the devotees, and it always is happening. So Swami asked the boys, see, I make you all distribute the prasadam to all the devotees. Do you know why? Then Swami said, see, these small, small acts of service, like even the prasadam distribution is very important, because in future you may need my intercession, and there may be some, there will be some occasions when I have to interfere and help you.
Absolutely.
But at those situations, there should be some
balance.
There should be something that you have done for me, so that I can shower my infinite grace, to you. And so, actually, this is for boys, like students. We get the chance to do the prasadam distribution. Now, devotees may think, what about them? It seems for them also Swami has told. Now, you know this Swami Super Speciality Hospital, right?
True.
There are free for all people.
Everybody, yeah, absolutely free.
Many, many specialties are there. Cardiology, neurology.
Ophthalmology.
And, yeah.
Urology.
So what happens is many patients come and there is a long waiting list. So what used to happen was, even now it's happening, many patients come and they'll be given a surgery date which will be after many months or so. So sometimes what they used to do means they used to come here to Kulanthal and pray to Bhagwan. They used to say, Swami, you are God, you please cure me directly, no need of this operation and waiting.
No, indirect route, direct route.
So it seems once Swami had called all the office bearers of Satya Sai Seva organization to Portico, and Swami was talking to them. It was like an open interview. So there Swami told, see, at your places, in different places, parts of India, you are talking about Swami's hospital here at Puttaparthi and Whitefield, and people are coming here, patients are coming here, and since there's a long queue, they are coming to me and praying me directly. But instead of telling them about hospital, you also tell them about hospital, but you also tell them to do a little bit of seva and sadhana at their own places.
Beautiful.
So if they do some sadhana and service at their own places, then there will be some, they are doing something for me, so that I can, when they come here, shower my infinite grace.
Beautiful.
So it's like this small seva that we do are like an insurance premium which we are giving it to Swami.
And
but the lump sum is not something restricted. It's infinite.
Infinite yes.
Grace of Swami which he pours.
And doesn't, you know, remain only in this particular world. Carries forward to all the world.
Yes.
And is finally merged in God. See, that is the spirit that, you know, the boys here always, Raghu, I have seen them perform, you know, various service activities here with such great spirit.
Yes.
We're talking about, you know, the boys doing the distribution of prasadam in the mandir. You know, it so happened that, you know, I was used to be also helping in that distribution process. And then Swami had one, in summer's time, Swami had received a lot of watermelon, big size ones. And they were all kept in Poonchandra. And Swami told the boys to get up and get those, this thing, and distribute them to the devotees there. So one boy, I saw that, you know, as I was looking at all the boys going and getting the watermelons, one each, there was one boy who had a fracture in one hand.
Oh.
And he's carrying two watermelons in both the hands. So I immediately try to take away one watermelon from him. At least, you know, don't carry with a fractured hand. And Swami was looking at this. And, you know, Swami was, I was thinking, you know, what Swami will say this with the boy with a fractured hand? How can we allow him to?
Yes.
Listen. But that school boy insisted, sir, no, sir, please, I want to take two only, sir. I'm pretty all right, sir. I'll be fine in a few weeks' time. This is okay. By Swami's grace, I can carry, sir, and please allow me. And he would refuse to, you know, give up the second watermelon. So that is the spirit.
Yes, yes.
Another occasion which I remember, Raghu, long back, Swami came to the Hillview Stadium. You know the Hillview Stadium where a statue of Lord Shiva is there in a beautiful, you know, meditation posture. From above, you know, the waterfall is there. And previously, before the statue was built, was a storeroom, you know, kept for, you know, construction workers and cement and other implements which are required for construction work. So Swami one day came, it was examination holidays that were going on, and so there were no classes, so boys were all spread out in the Hillview Stadium and other places and studying for the examinations. Swami came, and so some boys who were close by in the Hillview Stadium, they came close to Bhagwan's car. Swami looked towards that particular storeroom and said, see, boys, I wanted to demolish this storeroom because statue of Shiva will come here. Mm. When are your examinations, Swami asked. Swami, tomorrow onwards they are starting. I said, don't bother, I will send Sevadal. Swami said, and he went back to the mandir. You know, Raghu, in 1 minute's time, the news spread like wildfire that Swami wants his room to be demolished. Mm. And whatever implements the boys had, you know, crude instruments, be it stakes, be it hammers, be it other stones, in 1 hour's time, the room was totally demolished.
Okay.
And you know, the new construction site, it was all the bricks and everything else was, you know, taken and delivered. And by the time the Sevadal came, you know, looking for a room, there was no room at all. See, that is the spirit.
Yes. Yeah?
Without, you know, one indication is enough.
Even though there were exams, right, next day.
Even though there were exams the next day. But when there's opportunity to serve. And what was the end result of all that? Swami in the evening came. Boys were sitting. Swami looked towards them with a naughty smile and twinkle in his eyes. Raised his eyebrows. Ah, okay, acknowledged your service. And the boys were happy and smiled. Nobody else got to know anything. But the service activity was totally complete in a spirit of dedication to Bhagwan.
Oh.
So many such instances are there.
Swami always has, we are discussing, used to give a lot of importance to service. When you are talking about Sevadals, I just, some memory triggered me. So, this Hyderabad youth are very much involved in various service activities.
Yes.
So, many years back, once a group of youth, Hyderabad youth had come here to Prashant Nilayam, and they did some Gram Seva in the nearby village of Puttaparthi. So after Gram Seva, they had come to Sai Kulanthal and they were seated in a group. And Swami called all the youth inside interview room. So there were many youth, about 40, 50, and surprisingly all got accommodated inside the interview room, small interview room.
That's a miracle of that interview room. I've seen even more than 150 people getting accommodated.
Oh my God.
I don't, I think it expands.
Yeah. So these youth were there. And Swami spoke to all of them. And after the interview, when they were all coming out, since they had just come from Seva, they were all sweating a little bit. So when they got up little, it was the ground floor was slightly wet because of the sweat. So one boy took handkerchief and started wiping it. Then Swami saw that and Swami told, see, don't wipe the sweat. In Telugu, Swami told, Turchuvadu Pavitramaina Ganga Jalamuradi, Swami told.
Oh, very
it's
nice.
It's as sacred as
Ganges water.
Yeah, the sweat of the
sweat
sevak.
Of service. Yeah. So, because it can transform lives, Raghu. Yeah. Absolutely.
So much importance. And one more occasion, this Prashanti Mandir was being constructed in late 1940s. So at that time also many workers were working for the construction, and Swami was regularly inspecting the construction site.
Right.
So whenever Swami used to go, Swami used to give Parnamaskar to all the workers. So on one occasion when Swami gave Parnamaskar, so the workers, their hands were dirty because they were working, and they used to touch Swami's feet. So Swami was just walking, and one of the devotees saw Swami's robe down part, and he told in Telugu, Swami, marakalu undi. Marakalu means dust marks, marks of dust on the robe. Then Swami told, idi marakalu kadura, idi marakadalu. Marakatalu is a gemstone.
Oh wow.
Swami told, these are from the hands of the workers who are working here, Sevadals. They are working for me, so it's like gemstones.
Absolutely. I remember Raghu, on the 70th birthday celebrations of Bhagwan, I came here as a mere Sevadal.
Okay.
And I was given the duty of unloading the various big vessels of food that would come from the canteen to the various temporary counters that were, you know, made, you know, behind the N3 and 4 block.
This was in the year 1995, I think.
95, so, yeah, before I joined as a student.
Okay.
So I was sleeping in some south block corridor. There was no place anywhere, so we were sleeping all in the corridor only. So, this person in whose corridor we were sleeping, somehow he was very good to us. And, you know, our clothes would become totally dirty and, you know, totally blackened by that soot and everything else on the vessels. And we were very happy doing that service to Bhagwan. And this person was very, and we came to know that some students were also helping him. And he was the main organizer of the cultural events on 70th birthday in the Hillview Stadium.
Okay.
And he was too good to us. Children, how are you? How is everything in your family? Are you comfortable here? Would like to, you know, shall I give you a cot and, you know, a quilt or anything else? So we were wondering, oh, such great people are staying in Swami's ashram. And we are mere savers actually. So one day before the 70th birthday, he sent one student and said, ask these two boys if they would like to also go and join the students and, you know, have close darshan of Bhagwan. So we asked the sevadal in charge. He said, oh, if you're getting an opportunity, please do go ahead. You know, this is Swami's will. And he gave us the artist passes.
Okay.
So along with, you know, the Priya sisters and along with other great artists who were supposed to perform, we also were sent to the Hillview Stadium. And we were wondering what is happening. And when Swami came along with the students, you know, we came and stood next to Bhagwan's path, and I got Pad Namaskar on the day of Bhagwan's 70th birthday, when millions of people were not even able to have a glimpse of Bhagwan.
Yes.
So later when we came back, we were very happy. And so we asked the students, you know, why did he, you know, shower this favor only on us? There are so many people, lakhs of people who are serving Bhagwan in many capacities. But why on us? He said, you know, what happened was actually, this organizer had gone to Delhi for getting some sponsorship for the program. And there he had met somebody who has got two sons. And he's a very rich person and he helped him. So he is confused that you two, Sevadals here, are those two sons of that sponsor in Delhi. See how how Swami rewarded us.
Yes, yes, yes.
We were doing service to Bhagwan selflessly. And Bhagwan gave us the opportunity, calling us, you know, as mere Sevadals, to so close to him that we could get his Pad Namaskar on 70th birthday itself. So this is Swami's miracle.
70th birthday, it was celebrated in Hillview Stadium. Yeah, every 5 years it will be celebrated.
Celebrated there.
Now, sir, Swami says that ultimately he is the sevak, the ultimate sevak of his devotees. He is the servant of his devotees.
Absolutely.
So in that line, can you share some instances?
Oh yes, Raghu, I think that's a very important point, that actually we do not serve at all. In fact, we, as Swami says, that you have to move from four steps in your process of service. First you have swartham. That means you have selfishness in doing something for somebody else that you will get something in return. You have to give up that. And then you have to go to the next stage of niswartham. That do it for the work's sake. Then Swami says you have to go to the third stage, that is parartham. For the benefit of others. For the love of others. Simply for the sake of, you know, serving somebody. And then you have to also, you know, go further beyond to the last stage, and which is paramartham. That means you consider that you are not doing at all. The work is being done by God through you. That is the whole process through which we have to go through. So in that process, Swami says we have to understand one thing, that the service begins with ourselves. You talked about Lord Ganesha in the beginning.
Yes.
You know, the story of Lord Ganesha is very relevant here, when there is a competition that who will be the pratham pujya, the first to be offered the ablutions by all the gods and goddesses. Amongst all the gods and goddesses, Ganesha was chosen. But, the Lord Kartikeya said, let there be a competition. And the competition was, who will go around the entire world three times. And in that competition, you know, having a beautiful Mayura, the peacock, as his vahana, as his vehicle, Kartikeya goes very fast around the world three times. But Ganesha just sits there in the lap of his parents. And when Kartikeya is coming after the third round, he just goes around his parents thrice. And he is declared the winner.
Yes.
For the reason that the message in that whole story is that you must first transform yourself. You must first become a good person. You must first become a person who reforms his own world from within. And then only you can think of transforming the whole world. And that is what every great person who has transformed the world has begun the whole story, the whole process with self-transformation.
Yes.
And in that, Swami himself is the ideal, most ideal example. He changed his view of the world. He gave up through his books and said, I am going, my devotees are calling, I have a mission to complete. I have not come for the family, I have come for the service to others. I have come for reformation and transformation of the entire world. That inner transformation first, and then the entire transformation takes out in the entire world.
Yes.
And that is why Ganesha, in tomorrow is Ganesh Chaturthi, he stands as the most ideal example. Because let us transform ourselves, our inner world first. And then we can transform our family. Then we can transform our town. Then we can transform our city, nation and the entire world. Without that, it is just only words that will transform the whole world. Without self-transformation, as Swami says, it is not possible to transform even your own family members. Yes. And we know that. It is very difficult. Mm. So once we were, Raghu, finishing our MBA in the year 1999, and Swami was asking us, what will you do after your MBA? And we said, Swami, I want to serve you. Pat came Swami's reply, hey, I don't want servants. And Swami said, I was amazed and shocked to hear when Swami said, I don't want servants, I want masters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I am the servant of my devotees.
Oh, wow.
And then he pointed towards, you know, my heart and said, spiritual heart and said, see, God is like this. He stands at the doorstep of your heart, waiting for your next command.
Wow.
And then he said, in fact, you know, it brought tears to my eyes, Raghu, that time. And he said, but you never call me in.
Oh.
I keep standing at the doorstep of your heart, waiting for your next command. Mm. But you never call me in. And that day I made up my mind, Swami, I will not keep the poison of all the worldly desires in this heart. I'll make this heart a single seat sofa for you to stay here permanently. I will not let you stand at the doorstep of my heart, asking for this, asking for that. Why, Swami? If I have you, I will have all the desires of my world fulfilled, because you know best what is good for me. I cannot decide.
Mm-hmm.
That is Swami. He stands at the doorstep. You know, just like a servant, he says.
Yes.
But we should not, you know, make him our servant. I think we should be serving him.
Yes,
and
sir,
making him the master of our heart. In that only we'll find final fulfillment.
In fact, when you are telling that Swami is in the doorstep, all of his service projects are at the doorstep of every beneficiaries, if you see.
Absolutely.
Right? He started the super speciality hospitals.
Right.
For the poor and needy free. But as if it was not enough, later they started the mobile hospital.
Oh, yes.
Which goes to the doorstep of the
people,
yeah, to the villages.
Absolutely.
And then he had started Gram Seva, where also earlier it was called Narayan Seva. The people from different villages around the Parthi used to come to Parthi for receiving the food.
Prasadam.
But then he started Gram Seva, where boys go to their doorstep, right?
Of the people, doorstep of the people.
Yeah.
And whenever you go for Gram Seva, Swami will give us a feedback. You have done this, you have done this well, you did not speak there with, you know, lovingly and humility. So he will guide us. That is the service that he expects.
Even Swami's darshan also, if you go to some pilgrimage places, we go to the sanctum sanctorum of the Lord to have Lord's darshan. But
right,
in case of Swami, he used to come out and give his darshan to people. In fact, he has traveled around the world in different plane, right? Some transcorporeal journey, and he has come in the dreams of different people and given darshan. He has materialized himself at different places and also has given darshan. There are many instances.
And he has used his devotees for that purpose. I remember in Kodaikanal, see, we're taking the service to a higher level. That not just that God directly needs to serve. He gives us the opportunity. He can do all the service by himself.
Yes.
He's fully capable because he lives in every heart. But then he gives sometimes the opportunity. And when the opportunity comes, we must take it without questioning. That is one thing that was, you know, highlighted by this particular beautiful instance. I will not take the name, but a very high positioned head of one of the Satsai Seva organizations. He was with us in Kodaikanal. And he was sharing one instance. And he said, I had to attend some official meeting in Japan, and Swami said, while I was taking leave from Bhagwan Swami, I'm going to Japan now. Swami said, go via Kuala Lumpur. And he was wondering what he will do in Kuala Lumpur. But you know, he did not question Swami, and Swami went inside the interview room. So he, you know, changed his ticket and went to Kuala Lumpur first, and then he took a connecting flight to Japan, not knowing what he will do in Kuala Lumpur. When he landed in Kuala Lumpur, he knew one Satsai Seva organization's, you know, leader there. So he called him, who was near the airport. He called him up and says, brother, I've come from India, and so he wanted me to come here for a while. How are you? He got a very rough reply. What's your problem? I'm fine.
Hmm.
He said, what happened to this person? He used to be so good to me, but now he's acting like this. He said, brother, I've got 2-3 hours to spend. Can I please come over for a while? He said, okay, if you want to come, you come. Again, he was surprised. Hey, what is this person is wrong with him? He is talking so rudely to me. But in any case, having no other option, he went to his house, which was on a very tall building. I think he was on the 16th or 14th floor. When he went there and he sat, he was not welcomed much, not offered even water. So he came and sat in the opposite sofa. After a minute or so, this person took out a revolver from below the sofa seat.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the successive organization, you know, head who was sent by Swami, he was wondering why Swami sent me here to be killed by this person.
Mm.
And so he was totally scared and amazed. Why this person? He said, "Ask, what are you doing? What are you doing?" He said, "Had you not called me for another 5 minutes time, I would have committed suicide."
Oh.
Because I lost everything financially and I'm totally in debt, I'm bankrupt. Mm. There's only one way for me. And he said, "Never do that, because Swami says the life is given to you for a purpose."
Mm.
So please, you know, you come to Bhagwan. And you know, then after talking so much, it got late and his flight time already was done. So he pressed the button. Instead of going down 14 floors, it went up to 28th floor.
Uh-huh.
And he was wondering, "Oh God, I'm late again.
Mm.
Oh, I'll miss my flight now." And once he opens on 28th floor, the lift opens and come in some, you know, this air pilots.
Huh.
Pilots of some aircrafts. And, you know, he's looking very tense. So they ask him, "Brother, what is the problem? Why are you looking so tense?" He said, no, I have to catch on flight to Japan. It is at this time, I'm already late." And they say, "Don't worry. We are the pilots of that flight. We will take you directly inside." Mm. See, beautiful how Swami orchestrated the entire episode to not only save a devotee's life, but to remake arrangement that the flight also is caught in the process.
Mm.
See, we have to be that instruments of Bhagwan without questioning. When the opportunity comes, just do and go and do the service as an offering to Him. Everything will fall off in the right place.
When we talk about Swami being the servant, Swami has to listen to everybody's prayers. He just keeps listening to devotees' prayers. Please share that instance during your research days, right?
Hmm.
Swami had called in St. Jurum, yeah, please.
Oh, yeah, that instance when Swami had called us early morning.
Yes.
Raghu, that was a very beautiful instance. I think it was an eye-opener for, you know, at least eye-opener for all of us. Because we sometimes, you know, are from different cultures, we come from different backgrounds, have different family deities, and sometimes after coming to Bhagwan, we're a little confused, you know, which name form is the best to meditate upon. I think that particular aspect was totally clarified by Swami through this instance. It was 6th of August in 2005, we are into our research, and that day Swami suddenly came very early to the Kulwanth Hall. Normally he'll come around 7:30. But that day by 6:15, Swami was outside. And there was nobody. The Kulwanth Hall lights were all switched off. There was nobody around there except Sevas standing on duty outside. And they immediately rushed and called, you know, the in-charges, Mr. Pradhan. And he called the, you know, portico in-charges and everybody. They all rushed in. By the time Swami alone, you know, just in the Kulwanth Hall, beautifully, you know, just walking alone with nobody present there, holding his robe with one hand, you know, waving the other lovingly in the air. And went up to the interview room and then went inside. So the portico in charges immediately came, and then, you know, one of the staff members of the university who was a portico in charge, so Swami told him, "Call the research scholars." So we were, you know, all half phased position, you know, we just half shaved, we just ran and, you know, sprinted to the mandir. And as we one by one started coming in and opening the door, we saw that Swami had, you know, not even put on the lights, and, you know, he was totally silent. And he was just, you know, keeping his, supporting his face by his hand on one of the elbows of the chair.
Armrest
of the chair. And he was just, you know, just totally still. So I went close and sat, and I could not even see that Swami was breathing or not breathing. He was absolutely still. 45 minutes. Raghu, just imagine early morning, 45 minutes, Swami in total silence. It was like a meditation class. Swami, for 1 second, he opened his eyes, acknowledged our presence, again closed his eyes.
Mm.
You're wondering what is happening. What is the purpose of us being there when he is not speaking to us at all? So nearly 15 minutes later, nearly 1 hour period, we were in silence with Swami.
Okay.
Swami opened his eyes. And then, you know, took a breath. So we could see, you know, now Swami is breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami looked towards all of us. And then he very slowly asked, "What date is today?" So I happened to be there and said, "Swami, today is 6th of August. Then Swami asked, "What happened on this day?" And, you know, we were all silent. We did not know what happened on this day. It was nobody's birthday. It was nobody's no special occasion.
Okay.
You know, we were wondering, you know. at what level Swami is talking.
Mm.
I said, Swami, I don't know. Swami said, and they're very significant, very pregnant words, and Swami said, this was the day that atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Then took a pause and said, right now in Osaka, my devotees, my children, are praying to me with lighted candles that such a catastrophe should never, never befall humanity again. Then he said, I listened to their prayers and came.
Okay.
I listened to their prayers and came.
Wow.
But the question, Brother Raghu, is, to whom were the prayers directed towards?
Yeah.
To Bhagwan's form? No. Some, you know, Japanese or Chinese of Taoism, Confucianism, some gods, you know, whom they knew and they were praying to. But who was receiving? Who was responding?
Swami.
Swami. Because a prayer from a pure heart for the welfare of others, for the welfare of humanity, which is not selfish, is certainly a great service to humanity also. Because Swami gave the assurance that I listened to their prayers and came.
No.
Meaning that he will prevent a catastrophe of that order happening in humanity again. So beautiful, you know, and revelation that he is the embodiment of all gods and goddesses.
Yes.
And any true service, any true prayers for the welfare of others in the spirit of love all and serve all reaches him directly.
Mm.
There is no intermission required.
Oh, wonderful. In fact, talking about this, that Swami listens to everybody's prayers, no matter which God they are praying to.
Mm.
I'm just reminded of an incident which Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, shared in one of her talks.
Mm.
So, she was in New York, and she was in some Broadway show or something, and in between she had gone to washroom. And when she had gone to washroom, there she found one Spanish lady who was just cleaning the washroom. And then this Spanish lady was looking at Geeta Mohan Ram with curiosity. And after some time, she asked her, are you Indian? You Indian? Then she told, yes, I am Indian. You know Sai Baba?
Okay.
Then Geeta Mohan Ram, yeah, I know Sai Baba. Then the third question which she asked really surprised Geeta Mohan Ram. She asked, you have white powder.
Oh, okay.
Then Geeta Mohan Ram, she was surprised and she didn't understand properly. Then that Spanish lady narrated the story. It seems her daughter was sick and doctors had told her that her daughter's kidneys have failed and she has to get her daughter's kidneys replaced, transplanted, and it will involve a lot of money. So from past 4 or 5 days, every night that Spanish lady, who didn't know anything about Swami, who has not heard Bhagwan Sri Satya Baba name itself, was in the night praying to her Lord Jesus Christ. Every night she was praying to Jesus Christ to save her save her daughter. And it seems in the night once Swami came in a dream. She describes Swami. She says, a man, short man with ochre robe and a crown of hair came in my dream. And he told, see, in another few days an Indian lady will come to you and you ask her for white powder.
Okay.
And but this lady just ignored the dream. And next night, again the same dream, she got same dream. So she is narrating this incident to Geeta Mohan Ram, and then she understood, white powder is vibhuti.
Right.
So she just opened her purse and she found, she always had, used to carry vibhuti packets with her. So she gave her some white vibhuti. And she came away. So that episode is over there. And Geeta Mohan Ram forgot about this episode. And maybe after 6 months or so, she came to Puttaparthi. Swami called her for interview. She had completely forgotten about this episode. But Swami reminded her, see, in New York you met a Spanish lady and gave her vibhuti. You did a good job. And that daughter of that lady is safe now. No kidney transplant required. That's
wow.
what Swami told.
See how he has given us an opportunity to be able to serve.
Yeah.
And that actually, that satisfaction that we get from that kind of a service cannot be matched by anybody else, anything else in the whole world. In fact, there's an instance I remember that once Mother Teresa, she was in the, in her home, and she had brought a man from the near a garbage dump, and he was a leper, he had, oozing problems and everything else, and she was cleaning the pus with her own hands. And there was this journalist who was, who had come to this particular home to see mother's work, who saw this disgusting work happening, and he was aghast. He said, how could somebody, be cleaning the wounds of the leper?
Yes.
Keeping his head in the hand and, lovingly doing it and all that. Mm. And, with a feeling of disgust, he told the mother, Mother, I will not do this kind of a work even for $1 million.
Mm. Even if someone gives $1 million.
$1 million, I will not do it. Mother just smiled, looked at me and said, even I will not do it for $1 million, but for the love of my God, the love of Jesus, yes. I will do it every day when it comes to me. See, that is a feeling that, we should have, that it should become a spontaneous nature, that we find an opportunity of service, we find somebody in need, and we are able to, reach out immediately.
Yes.
Just like, our body parts, right? If one body part is in need, other body part does not think twice.
Feeling of oneness.
That is, Swami says, is the real meaning of man management. As Swami had mentioned this in his discourse number of times. The proper study of mankind is man.
Yes.
So we had G. Venkatraman sir who once came for our awareness class. And he was narrating that instance when he asked Swami, you always repeat a proper study of mankind is man. What's the real meaning of that? And then Swami counter-questioned him and asked him, if you're going in a forest and a thorn picks your feet, what will you do? He said, Swami, obviously I'll use my hand and remove it. And Swami said, why should the hand go and help? Why should the eyes cry? Why should the mouth, feel the pain? The whole body feels the pain. Why should the hand go and help? He said, because Swami, everybody, all the body parts feel that pain. And then Swami said, this is the way a society should be. Mankind should be with kindness. If one part of society is suffering, has got a problem, the remaining parts of the society should rush to provide succor and relief. And you've seen that, is it not?
Yes.
In the Orissa floods or any other catastrophe befalling humanity,
yes.
Swami is the first one to rush succor because he himself feels that pain.
Yes, correct.
That is the spirit of service that Swami has always, always exemplified.
In fact, when you're talking about Mother Teresa, it's Mother Teresa who said that what matters more than giving is how much love you have put in that giving,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can you share some instances where shows that the love that we, with how much love that we do is important?
Absolutely, Raghu. I think everything that Swami has done is with absolute love. In fact, to know about the definition of love is, I think, very pertinent here before we go forward and
so
talk
about. So let's go to the basics.
Let's go to, keep going back once in a while to the basics. And Swami says that if love is to be love, it has to be absolutely selfless, deep and expansive.
Mm.
Then it is love. If the love is not expansive but narrow, if the love is not deep but shallow, the love is not expansive but very limited, it is not true love. It is only business. I give something, I want something in return. Mm. Right? It is not true love.
Not so selfless.
Not. It is not selfless love. Mm. Right? So selfless love has to be unconditional love, as Swami's love has always we have seen. And I can give you one instance of, a very different kind of an experience. So this was shared by Brother Satyajit when he had gone for Badri trip, along with some other staff members from Prashanthi Nilayam. And we asked him to share his experiences. And this one I remember very correctly, that Swami had one day scolded him when he had put him for the Central Trust. He had given him some work. And when he came back after the evening, after the work, Swami scolded him, saying that, you're talking too much. Though in fact he had not opened his mouth, but Swami is talking at some other level, maybe in subconscious mind, maybe he had been talking or something to himself. So Swami gave him a little scolding and said, you're talking too much. And next day, after some days, again, when he was there in the office, he was scared that, you know. So he was very overcautious that he doesn't speak to anybody and does, you know, his work alone.
Okay.
But he saw that, you know, one of his, the nine diamonds of his nine diamond ring, one of the diamonds had fallen away.
Mm.
So he became a little more scared. Swami scolded me, this one diamond has fallen, how will I tell Swami? And again when Swami, he came to the evening, to Bhagwan, Bhagwan again scolded him. You're speaking too much. And he just burst crying, you know, because he already had that fear of the losing that diamond. Then Swami had been scolding him for talking, though he is not talking at all. So he is just, you know, broke down like a child. And then Swami was very upset and said, "Oh, don't I even have the right to scold you? I have taken so much care of you. I took, you know, kept you so close to my bosom, but you not, don't have not even given me the right to scold you." And he said, "No, no, no, Swami. Actually, the, you know, the diamond fell."
Hmm.
And then Swami said, "Oh, for this is it." And then Swami just blew on it and the diamond came back.
Hmm.
In the night, he was still very shocked by Swami's scolding. So he's still crying. So night, you know, Swami just, you know, snapped his finger and asked him to get up. And there's an emergency light which has got a LED bulb and which casts a small round of light on the opposite wall. Because a small room, Swami's room, there's a small, you know, that white light falling on the opposite wall from the LED bulb. And when Brother Satyadith, you know, got up, you know, he sleeps on the floor, Swami made beautiful images, shadow images,
oh,
of, you know, a giraffe, a horse, a man, a fish.
With his fingers.
With his fingers.
Ah, okay.
You know, casting the shadow on that particular white light, which was coming from the LED bulb. And seeing that, Brother Satyajit was totally amazed, totally amazed, you know, that, you know, evening he had got scolding. And now early morning, Swami was showing him a shadow display of various images. See, this is what is real. Swami says service is not that you only have to go and do gram seva and go to medical camps and all that. Even if a child is crying, and you just pat him with love and give him a sweet.
Yes.
That also is service to God.
To bring smiles in other faces.
On somebody's face. Mm. And that expansion, that, you know, the real purpose is that our love should expand to more and more people selflessly. Because he says, expansion of love alone is life. And his service is only meant to expand that love. That we can see ourselves. We can feel one with others. We see God in them, see ourselves in them, then only the service really comes to its fruition. And we say it is true service to God. So that feeling has to be, is what has to be driven home through service.
Yes. In fact, I remember once, it seems John Hislop, a very long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, he asked Swami, "Swami, theoretically I know everything that we should see God, divinity in everyone. I know what is realization, how to get it. But in our spiritual progress, how to know that we have spiritually progressed in our spiritual path?
True.
How to know that how much we have progressed in our spiritual path? For that, Swami said, see, if you are going in a road, if you see a person in distress, if a person is hungry, thirsty, or if he has been injured and if he is in distress, if you are able to feel the same pain in you,
right,
that means you are completely realized.
Realized.
So your spiritual progress depends on how much pain you feel, how
for
much
others.
Pain of that person you feel in yourself.
Absolutely.
That feeling of oneness, that decides your spiritual progress.
You know, the Ramakrishna Paramhamsa, there's one instance there, when he's going, you know, along with some disciples on the road in Calcutta, and he saw, you know, one master beating with a cane, his servant. And seeing that, Ramakrishna Paramhamsa falls down crying and the marks of the beating appear on his back. See, that is the spirit. And with students, Swami has always, you know, been that oneness we have seen between Swami and his students. Not that, you know, only students, but, you know, everybody who follows his principles is really his student. And those students who don't follow those principles are not really his students. So let us...
University student, just university.
Yeah, universe is, you know, university. Once... it so happened, Vrindavan campus, that one boy early morning came to the warden, Sanjay Sahani sir, and obviously that boy had been crying all night because his eyes were swollen and red. And he was still crying when he came in the morning. So the warden became very alarmed and he asked the boy, "Boy, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying?" And he said, sir, no sir. I cannot stop crying because I have made Swami unhappy."
Uh-huh.
He said, "No, tell me, child." He gave him some water and made him to sit down in his room. He said, "Tell me what happened. He said, "Sir, Swami, I speak too much, I chat, you know, I gossip too much. And a few days back, Swami came to my dream and said, see, it is not good for you to chat so much. And so you should not go around room to room, you know, like cats and dogs, chatting here, gossiping there and wasting your time and other people's time. So, but sir, I did not improve on my behavior. I continued chatting, ignoring Swami's command.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday night, Swami came to my dream again. And in that dream, Swami was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami was crying and telling me, see, child, I told you earlier also not to speak so much, and you hurt me so much by your constant gossip and chatting. You're wasting your energy like this. And he said, sir, when I got up in the morning, seeing Swami crying, it was 12 o'clock. And since then, I have been crying.
Okay.
That I made Swami to cry. What is this feeling that you're talking about oneness?
Mm.
Even in that instance, when he wants to correct us, when he wants our something which is good for us, he still feels one with us. Right? And he cries. He laughs with us. Right? And that oneness is what actually is the real essence of service.
Yes.
That is the real essence of service.
So this feeling of oneness and love for others, these two are very important when
absolutely.
Take off this,
and Swami
think
exhibits
of this service.
That in every action of his, that feeling. He doesn't have that, you know, I am God, so I need a special pedestal, you know, and others are, you know, devotees and all that. He's always one with us. In fact, in Swami had taken some boys for the Bhaj Govindam drama, and it was performed very well. Everything went off very well, and then Swami asked the boys, "Boys, have you seen Bombay?" That time it was called Bombay.
Yeah.
He says, "No, Swami, we have not." Many boys said, "Swami, we have not seen Bombay." And Swami said, "Okay, I am arranging a small minibus for you. All of you go and see Bombay." And Swami, "No, we don't want to go without you, Swami. We would like to stay with you only." Swami says, "See, it's not for my sake. When you go back to your hometowns, no, parents will ask you, Swami, you went to Mumbai, have you seen Gateway of India, have you seen this or party and everything else? If you say no, then they will say, oh, Swami took them all the way only for his work. He has not shown them Bombay at all. So for that sake, you go and come." But the boys refused, "Swami, we will not leave you unless you come." Swami said, no, you go. So they had to follow Swami's command, and they went and sat in the bus. And the seats were exactly as the number of boys. There was not even one extra seat. Suddenly they saw that, you know, the Dharmakshetra Swami is coming out, and Swami himself also is coming towards the bus.
Okay.
So they, you know, the boy sitting in the front vacated that particular place and put a nice new towel for Bhagwan to sit. Bhagwan came inside the bus and said, Eric, you kept this place for me, but where will you sit? He said, "Swami, no problem, Swami, I will stand," the boy said in all humility. He said, no, how can you stand all the way? It's going to be 2-3 hours. And Swami said, "Okay, I will shift. You sit with me." So 50-50 sharing. Just imagine traveling all over Mumbai, 50-50
yes.
Sharing seats. He doesn't have that feeling. Mm-hmm. That feeling of oneness is what is important, which makes service a true service. A true service. That makes, you know, that coal become into diamond.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. So throughout Swami's life, he has shown with example that his life itself is his message.
Exactly. And that we also can follow that example of his.
And even Swami's devotees, wherever they are, in whichever part of the world, in their own capacity, they are undertaking service with love.
Absolutely.
And following Swami's teachings. In fact, I just want to narrate one incident. This was told by Mr. Gene Massey, a Hollywood filmmaker, and he is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan. It seems once in his place, there was a person who was begging for money somewhere abroad. The thing is that the person said, "See, I have been behind bars for few months. Just now I am released, so I am yet to get some job, but I want money now." So he is begging for money from different people for past few weeks or so till he gets the job. Then Mr. Gene Massey, he said, "Come with me. I will give you money, but let's go to a restaurant and have food." So he took this man to a restaurant, ordered food for him, ate with him, and he just was leaving him apart. But that time that man was fully in tears. And he said, "Sir, from past many weeks I am begging for money and people are just giving me money, but you have done something really wonderful. You have come with me and had food with me." So this is what is unique in Swami's devotees, if you see, that love element that with Swami has always said, it's not just giving away food or some money or something, it's sharing with them and that expressing that love. As Mother Teresa had said, it's not what matters is not how much you give, but how much love you put in that giving.
Absolutely. And Swami, let me just extend this, you know, one step further, Raghu, saying that, you know, it is not that only serving only human beings is important. I think every part of creation is embodiment of Satya Sai Baba only in the end. And Swami himself has exhibited how he has served, you know, everybody and recognized the service of any part of the nature. It was once in Ooty, I remember, that Swami had gone, and because of some water shortage, there was a he buffalo which was employed for getting two big buckets of water for Bhagwan every day in the morning.
Okay.
From down the hill to Swami's bungalow there.
Mm-hmm.
And after the whole trip was over and everybody was leaving, everybody had boarded their buses and cars, Swami suddenly asked for his car to be stopped. And Swami got down again and went to the back of the bungalow where this he buffalo was tied in his small shed. And Bhagwan, you know, the person who was with Swami in the car, he also followed Swami. And he went and saw what Swami was doing. And there was Swami patting and thanking and expressing his gratefulness to the he buffalo, telling him, you have done me a great service. I am so grateful to you and so happy with you for this service. See, that is the level of expression.
Yes.
Of, you know, that also is great, which has to be recognized. We in society always, you know, think about our rights, our rights, our rights. We should also think that, you know, whatever rights we have is somebody else's responsibility. That is why it is our right, right? And so, every part of nature, be it trees, be it flowers, be it the clouds, be it the Mother Earth, be it the oceans, be it the rivers, everything is embodiment of God, and we have to recognize the service of all the elements of nature in allowing us to exist and prosper. We have to be grateful to everybody. And Swami, day in and day out, has expressed that in his life. You remember Vrindavan, Raghu, that Swami had deers and birds and rabbits in front of Trey Vrindavan. So it so happened one day that Swami had got these deers from the Mudumalai forest. Somebody had gifted to him. And there was one deer who was the great-grandfather of all the other deers. All were his progeny in that particular park of Swami. And one day, this deer was looking up to Swami's room for a long time. So Swami came out of Trey Vrindavan in the afternoon time itself, though he used to come a little later. And then he asked the Sevadal to get, you know, a few apples. And Swami went to this particular deer who was looking, you know, pointedly at Bhagwan's window, and with his own hands fed him some apples. And after a while, this deer just fell down and died. His moments had come.
Okay.
But Swami wanted to express his gratefulness, his, you know, his gratitude to even to that deer, which, you know, whose progeny had formed that beautiful garden and all the deer had been there. So this is the extent that we have to go.
Oh, wonderful. Swami's unconditional love, it's not just for human beings, but for each and every creation.
Yes. That attitude should be developed.
In fact, it's Swami's creation. Swami has told that I separated myself from myself to love myself.
Yes.
Yes.
So if he has separated himself from himself, that means everything is himself only.
Yes.
So we have to be grateful to everything in this universe for making this whole nature to blossom in such a beautiful way that we can live in this beautiful nature and be grateful to Bhagwan for all that he has done for us.
He is the embodiment of love, and it is our duty that we should also express that love.
Express that same love.
Yeah. In fact, when we are talking about this, just I am reminded of one instance that one person had told me. This Swami's devotees do this blanket distribution in the month of December, January, when it's extremely cold. They go to, in the late night, they go to some bus stands or railway stations where people are sleeping without proper clothing in the dead of night, in the chill winter.
Chill winters.
So it seems once, this was told by Mr. M.S. Prakash Rao, and he had gone in one night with his people for distributing blanket in some railway platform. So at one corner, he saw one man. He was just sitting. It was late in the night, about 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the night. He was just sitting, but he had covered himself with a blanket, which was torn. And when this sir saw him, he came to know that that blanket was the blanket which they had given him previous year. Hmm. That every year they do this service actually.
Hmm.
So he was just sitting and he was not asleep, he was awake. And he was just sitting covered with the blanket. So these people went to him and offered him new blanket.
Hmm. Hmm.
Then this person said, "See sir, I have this blanket, it's okay for me.
Hmm.
Just go a friend, there one boy is sleeping under a tree.
Hmm.
And he is not having anything to wear, he's not even wearing a shirt.
Hmm.
So, and he is shivering with chill, cold. Hmm. You please offer him the blanket."
See.
Then the story doesn't end there. Hmm. Then this Mr. Prakash Rao, he asks him, he says, "Okay, we'll offer him." But he asks him, what is it that you are so generous and what is it you are, why are you telling this?" That's what he asks him.
Hmm.
Then he says, "See sir, this is a blanket that you gave me last year.
Hmm.
I know it's torn, it's not suffering
as
good as it's always better to have new one.
Hmm.
But you are coming from Satya Sai organization, I know that you are devotees of Bhagwan.
Hmm. Hmm.
And you are giving this every year. Now Bhagwan is embodiment of love.
Hmm.
He is love himself.
Hmm.
At least when I am wearing this blanket, I should also emulate that quality of love.
Beautiful.
Love for others. At least when I am, for the few minutes or few hours when I am wearing this blanket, at least let me emulate that love." So that's what he said. You know.
Exactly, exactly.
That's awesome.
See, you know, I think one pertinent instance which I remember from Kodaikanal, this was, you know, I was not there, but I heard from my seniors who had gone there. And one day Swami asked all the boys who were assembled for a session with him in Kodaikanal, "Who am I to you?" So everybody, you know, started giving an answer. "Swami, you are our God. Swami, you are our guru and guide." Somebody said, "Swami, you are our mother and father, divine mother and father." And so many people said, "Swami, you are our mother, 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 divine mother." Then Swami asked the boys one simple question. He said, "See, whatever you are, you have some traits of your parents.
Mm-hmm.
The way you smile, the way you look, your color, color of your eyes, you know, the way you behave, your demeanor. Something reflects about your parents, is it not?" Right? Swami said, "Okay, now tell me what is there in you which reflects your Sai Mata."
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, "When you go out into the world, when the people see you speak, behave, serve, do anything, without your telling, they should be able to point out and say, oh, this is Sai Baba's child."
Mm-hmm.
See, and Swami says his entire life is an, you know, saga of selfless service.
Mm.
So if you really keep on telling Swami, "You are our mother, you are our mother," that should find meaning by our behavior when people can recognize us as that embodiments of service. Okay, not that great extent. But you know, we have seen people from all walks of life. We talked about Mother Teresa. But that's not the only way in which we can serve Bhagwan. We can do our job pretty well. We can, you know, offer our job, whatever we have, even our official duties, if we offer them in perfection to Bhagwan.
Yes.
It's an offering unto Him.
Swami has told, work is worship, duty is God.
When M.S. Swaminathan, who was, you know, the father of Green Revolution in India, he saved millions of lives by putting in Mexican draft genes into India for wheat production, which when there was a Bihar this thing famine, and everybody said at least there will be 2 million starvation deaths, there was not even a single death. Because he had drafted, you know, found the potential of these Mexican draft genes into India, and then he had saved the lives of millions of people. Is that not service to Bhagwan?
Mm-hmm.
So in everywhere when we see, if you do our job well, as an offering to Bhagwan, that itself is a great service to Bhagwan also. Let us not distinguish, this is spiritual service, this is worldly service.
Yes.
It's all one. What matters is the attitude,
the
selflessness within, with which we are offering that service to Bhagwan.
In fact, now it's the point when Swami is not in his physical form after his Mahasamadhi. So, we should, through our action and through our love for others, through our service attitude for others, we should prove that we are Swami's devotees for what Swami has given for us in throughout His earthly sojourn, the love and sacrifice that He has done for our sake. At least after studying in His institution, which has been totally free for us, and we should always, through our actions, be His student.
Absolutely, absolutely. And have the self-confidence that Swami has not that he has given something of his possessions. In fact, there was one boy who went for an interview for an after passing his MBA, coming from a very poor family from a village. And, you know, the interview panels were a little skeptical about Bhagwan. They had heard, you know, something wrong, and they started asking him, "Oh, you're coming from Sai Baba's college. Okay. Now, we have heard Sai Baba gives a lot of, you know, rings and lockets and chains. What has he given you?" That was a question posed to him, you know, in interview panel, and a job which he required badly. So this boy looked towards the interview panel and he said, "Sir, I come from a very poor and illiterate background. Today, if I am facing with confidence an interview panel with such, you know, distinguished panelists, this is the gift of self-confidence that Sai Baba has given me." And all of them were so pleased that he immediately got the job. So we have to have that self-confidence, that the same self exists in every individual in this whole world. And if you're serving that, we are serving God Himself.
Yes. Yes, sir. Talking about Swami, we can actually go on and on and keep narrating many instances from Swami's life where Swami has selflessly done for others. Well, it's almost 1 o'clock now, and it's time for next segment of today's Thursday Life, the afternoon satsang. So thank you very much, sir, for coming. And in fact, today we are celebrating it as the 12th anniversary of Radio Sai. So thank you for joining us in this celebration.
Our heartiest congratulations to all of us.
Yes.
Radio Sai is for all of us. It's a gift of Bhagwan to the whole humanity. Thank you very much, Raghu, for calling me and making me a part of your celebrations.
Okay, Sai Ram.
Jai Sai Ram.
So, dear listeners, well, the time in our studio right now is, as I said, is 1 o'clock. And so today in the segment Service Love in Action, as you heard, I had a conversation with Dr. Deepak Anand, the faculty member in the Department of Management Studies in Prashantilan campus of Bhagwan's University. I hope you all enjoyed this conversation. Do write to us your feedback and comments on this. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. And as always, I place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and I thank him profusely for giving me this opportunity to speak in his radio and host his segment Service Love in Action every Thursday, week after week. So again, meet you again next Thursday at 11 o'clock on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. So now it's time for afternoon satsang with Prem and Arvind. But before that, I'll be playing for you reflections of a listener of Radio Sai, Mrs. Sunita Menon. So after that, you'll be joined by Arvind and Prem. Jai Sai Ram.